This morning, we've got Brother David Rutland coming to bring our message this morning. Hopefully, he doesn't need to be introduced to you because he's family. He's we think of him as one of ours, even though he is a member of another church. We still claim him part-time anyway. But it is good to have him back with us. I know you'll enjoy the message he has for us. And I'm going to ask that he would come and just close as the Lord sees fit. But Jackie's going to bring our special music first. So as soon as she gets done, then you come and lead as the Lord directs you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Jack. Amen. Good morning. Glad to be back. Always glad to come to White Creek. Seems like this is home. Years and years and years ago, I came here. Kind of reminds me of a pastor who went to see one of his congregation who had not been to church in a long, long, long time. And as he sat there and as he talked to his member, he said to him, he said, you know you ought to be in the service of the Lord. And the member looked at him and said, preacher, I am in the service of the Lord. He said, well, I haven't seen you in church in quite a while. He said, yes, I'm in the secret service. You know, there's a lot of people today who are in the secret service. Or they want you to think they're in the secret service. They don't do a whole lot. But they want you to think that they, you just can't operate without them. And they just don't seem to be doing very much in the way of serving the Lord. I am just amazed at the testimonies that I heard here this morning about what you are doing here at White Creek. But you know, I would be amiss if I didn't admonish you to try to do more than what we're doing. If you take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to John chapter 12, I want to read verse 31, 32, and 33. John chapter 12, 31 through 33. Now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he would die. Let's pray. Now, Father, as we open your word, take us, Lord, and make us your servant. Fill us with your word that we might share your word with your people. Lead us and guide us with your hand. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There are four things that I would love to share with you this morning about this particular text here this morning. First of all, this text says, the judge of the world. Then it says, the prince of the world will be cast out. And it says, Christ will be lifted up. And then the fourth thing is, I want you to see the manner of death that he was talking about, the cross. First of all, the judge of this world, or of the world. Listen, my friend, there is no question this morning. This world will be judged. Judgment is certain. Judgment is sure. Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23 says, be sure your sins will find you out. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter how you act, if you're not acting according to the word of God, and you're not acting according to the way that God would have you to act, then you can be sure that sooner or later, those things are going to find you out. Now, they may not find you out in this world, but God's word assures us that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that comes a judgment. So every person that's sitting here this morning is going to stand at the bema seat, the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. and be judged according to the deeds that you've done in this world, whether they be good deeds or whether they be bad deeds. You're still going to be judged according to them. God has appointed Jesus Christ as judge of this world. Why? Because this world judged him and put him to death, crucified him. And so God has made him the judge of the world. There is coming a time of reckoning for every soul. And my Christian friend this morning, it behooves you and I as God's servants, as God's children, to do everything that we can do to make sure, absolutely sure, that we're going by the will of God. We're doing what God wants us to do. Jesus said he didn't come to judge or condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost of this world. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says he commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died and he gave them this word here, and he signified what kind of death he was going to die. We know that the final judgment will come, and that judgment will begin at the house of God, at the church, right here. Folks, let me tell you something. We are going to be judged for the deeds that we do as a church, as individuals, but as a church also. God is going to hear our poor excuses for the things that we have not done, but God will not accept our excuses, folks. Well, preacher, it was raining and I just did not want to get wet. Well, what do you think you do when you go into that baptismal pool? Baptists get baptized by immersion, and if two drops of rain fall, they stay home because they don't want to get wet. Baptists are not doing all that they could do. There are 19,000 people in Bladen County. Did you know that that's over half of Bladen County? We have a population of 34,000 in Bladen County, and 19,000 of those are unchurched or unsaved people. Now, folks, that doesn't say too much for the 276 churches that are in Bladen County. Now, I'm not just talking about the 40 Baptist churches that are here, Southern Baptist churches. There are other kind of Baptist churches too, but I'm talking about every church, every denomination, every person who claims to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, that doesn't say very much for all of us. Something is wrong whenever we as Baptists cannot win one single solitary person to the Lord Jesus Christ. And did you know that there are many churches in our association that did not put water one single time in their baptistry last year? Not one time. That doesn't say very much for 16 million Baptists across the world. But judgment is going to come, and it's going to begin at the church. God's going to judge us. And we know that Jesus is going to be the judge of this world. The very real thing that he's going to say to you and I is, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? And what kind of excuse are we going to give then? What are we going to be able to say then when Jesus says to us, why didn't you do this? Or why didn't you do that? Now listen, my friend, I'm not here to tell you that you're going to die and go to hell. I believe that if you ever made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, that commitment is sealed by the Holy Spirit and you will go to heaven. But folks, you're not going to go to heaven with blame on your heart. You're going to have to shed some tears at the bema seat of the Lord Jesus Christ for that lost next door neighbor that you've lived by for 10 or 15 or 20 years and you haven't even one time gone over there and said to him, will you go to church with me? I didn't say anything about it saying, you need to get saved. I said, will you go to church with me? Just invite him to come and hear the gospel. Just invite her to come and hear the gospel. Bring them to the place where they can hear that the Lord Jesus Christ died for their sins. This world is going to be judged. We judge the unrighteousness of the devil and his angels every time we do righteousness. You see, when God looks at us, he doesn't see us. He sees the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, but his righteousness is pure. And when God looks upon us, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that righteousness causes light to shine into the world. Jesus said, I am the light. He said, I am the life. I am the way. Folks, if we're not telling people how to get saved, if we're not telling people how to find Jesus Christ and pardon and forgiveness of their sin, we're not doing what God wants us to do. We're not doing what God's called us to do. This world is going to be judged. Then the prince of the world is going to be cast out. Jesus said, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. I just have one question. If the prince of this world is cast out, who's in charge of all the meanness that's going on in the world today? It certainly isn't Jesus. It certainly isn't people who believe like Jesus believes, have this mind in you, the like mind, the same mind that's in Christ Jesus. And it isn't those people. You know who it is? It's the devil. Who do you think is in charge of all the murders and all the crime that's going on in the world today? It's the devil. You see, and he's more rampant now than he ever has been in all of the history of mankind. The devil knows that his time is getting short. And he's reaching down in the very bottom of his bag and pulling out every trick that he knows. And he's trying it on the world. Trying to get as many people as he can to go to hell with him. He doesn't want to go by himself. He's trying to get everybody he can to go. The overwhelming evidence seems to be that Satan is alive and in the world today. And folks, if you don't believe that, you just better wake up and get your head out of the sand. Because the devil is alive and in the world today. And he's just wanting to trip you up every way he can. You know how he wants to trip up a Christian? He wants to kill our influence in the world. And folks, he just about done that. There is less respect for the church and the Christian people and the men of God today than there ever has been in the history of mankind. I don't need to go to church. I can stay home and listen to my favorite evangelist on television and just worship there. Let me tell you a little story. When I was pastor over at Cypress Creek, I had a couple that once a month, he had to go to Chapel Hill to take a cancer treatment. He had cancer. All the way to, and they would call the preacher to take him. And I would take them. And all the way to Chapel Hill and all the way back, all they could talk about was how much money they sent to old Roberts. A dollar here, a dollar there, a dollar this, a dollar that, a dollar. And when it comes Sunday morning time for offering in their church, they gave 50 cents. Oh, they gave 50 cents religiously. But they sent all of their money to Oral Roberts. And I heard that until I got tired of it. I got sick of it. And one day coming home from Chapel Hill, they got started with that. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I just want you to know one thing. When you die, don't call me. Call Oral Roberts. And see just how quick he comes and does your funeral. I never heard another word about Oral Roberts. I never had another phone call saying, "Will you take me to Chapel Hill?" Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Whenever you're confronted with your sins, be sure your sins are going to find you out. Now, I'm not saying old Roberts don't need what we send to him or what people send to him. What I'm saying is that the Bible says, "Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse." This is the storehouse, my friend. The local church that you belong to is the storehouse. My mother, bless her heart, she's gone on to be with Jesus. She used to come and visit us. She loved to come and visit us. And she said, "You know, I wish my church could do the things that your church is doing." They didn't even have bathrooms inside their church building. They had to go out back. She said, "I wish we could build a fellowship hall like you've got." I said, "Mama," I said, "I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I want to tell you something. If you'd quit sending your dollars off to them TV evangelists and bring it and put it in your church offering, you'd be able to do some of those things." The prince of this world is going to be cast out. Jesus meant that the job is not over yet. It's not done yet. Amen. We still got some work to do. Jesus gave us power. He said, "All power is given to me in both heaven and earth. And as God has given to me, so give I to you." You know what the Bible says? You read about all those miracles that happened in the Bible. You know what Jesus, the Son of God, said? He said, "Even greater things than these will you do if you believe." Folks, I want to tell you something. The reason that we don't do those kind of miracles today is because we, as Christians, have lost some of our respect for God. We just don't believe God's as powerful as the Bible says he is. That's what's the matter. But Jesus gave us power over serpents, over scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, over all the power of the devil. And this means that we're partners with Jesus Christ in driving the enemy out of the souls of men. "Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men's souls." Are we fishing for men's souls today? Or are we just letting them step on over into hell? And saying, "Well, I know where I am, and I'm good enough, and I'm going to heaven, and that's all right with me. They can go to hell if they want to." Friend, that's not the attitude that we as Christian people ought to have. Every soul is important. Your soul was important. My soul was important. The prince of this world is cast out every time we take the rightful side of Jesus Christ. Every time we see a young boy or a girl or a man or a woman, you know what thrills my heart? It does my heart the greatest of good to see a young person, a teenager, walk the aisle and get saved. But it does my heart even greater to see an 85 or 90-year-old man or woman walk the aisle and say, "Listen, I've wasted all of my life. I don't have much left, but what I have left, I want to give it to God." Oh, Lord, to be saved before you go out of this world. That's what really, really counts. I'm not talking simply about casting out demons like Jesus did the Gadarene demoniac. I'm not talking about just laying our hands on somebody and casting out devils. I'm talking about getting a person to the cross where they can find Jesus Christ in the pardon and forgiveness of their sins and find salvation for their souls and eternity for their life. That's what I'm talking about. You see, when you crucify the flesh, when you frustrate the sinful, when you resist the devil, you cast him out. Every time you're casting him out, you're stripping him of all of his power. Satan, you can't do anything with me because I'm hid by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't cause me to do this or that or the other because I know better and God has taught me better. The prince of this world is going to be cast out. And then Jesus is going to be lifted up. Now listen, he wasn't talking about lifting him up in praise, which is good. We ought to praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Listen, we ought to praise God, but that's not what he was talking about. He said, even as a serpent was lifted up in the desert, I'm going to be lifted up. He's talking about the manner of death that he was going to die. I'll be lifted up on the cross. And all men, if they look to the cross for their salvation, they'll find their salvation. Now, this is the most important thing. Jesus lifted up. If you're here this morning, and you're lost and undone without Jesus Christ, and you know whether or not you are, I don't have to come back and take you by the hand and say you need Christ. I don't have to come back and try to get you or coerce you into coming to find Jesus. You know whether or not you're lost. You know whether or not if you died right now. And listen, folks, that's not uncommon in this world. People who are 16, 17 years old just fall over dead. Doesn't mean that we're going to live to be 65 or 70, 75 years old like me. Because we can die at any minute. But the important thing is if Christ is lifted up and we look unto Christ, salvation will come. Christ is going to be lifted up. It doesn't mean worshiping him. It doesn't mean falling down before him. It means following after him. That's what it is, what it means. That's when Jesus said, I'll be lifted up, that's what he meant. He would be lifted up. When he died, he broke the enemy's hold on all of us. He won the victory over death, sin, death, and the grave. And folks, you and I, through Jesus Christ, can do the same identical thing. We can win the victory over death, burial, resurrection, the grave. We can win the victory over the devil. Paul said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And if and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Listen. If I were to come before you this morning and use all kinds of big, fancy words that long, it wouldn't do a bit of good in the world if nobody responded to that. But if I came to you and said, listen, Jesus loves you and he died for you and you can be saved through him. Simple. Well, preacher, I don't know how to witness to people. I don't know the Bible well enough to use the Roman road of salvation and all of the other things that go on in the, but I'll tell you what. I know what happened to me. And I know the same thing can happen to you. I know I was lost. And I know I needed Jesus. And I know Jesus was right there waiting on me. He said this in order to show what manner of death he was going to suffer. You remember Peter, James, and John sitting at the gate, and the man came and was begging alms, and they said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give to you. And what did they give him? Jesus. Jesus. Galatians 6:4 says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." The only power is the power of the crucifixion. The only power this morning is the power that God gave at the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross is the instrument that brought that power to the earth. Paul says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's all that I am." And we have what Christ gave us through His suffering and His death. And you and I can glory in that this morning. There are three things that you need to notice about the cross. First of all, the cross glorifies God. The cross is what accomplished God's will. The cross is what saves man from his sin. If Jesus had not hung on the cross, if he had not been lifted up, folks, there wouldn't be any hope for you and I. As Christians, well, if Christ had not hung on the cross, we wouldn't be Christians. There would be no Christianity. Just a bunch of religion. Everybody's got religion. Even the atheist has got religion. He believes religiously in what he believes. And that's what religion is. Oh, I got religion last night. If Jesus came into your heart, you got Christianity. You were saved. And then the cross judges man. When we look to that cross and we see all the suffering that Jesus did for us, it judges us, or it ought to. And it draws men to Jesus Christ. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And that's what he did. And if you're here this morning and you're lost and undone without Jesus, you can be saved. And if you're here and you're a Christian and you haven't been living like God wants you to live, today's that start. Don't wait on your birthday. Your birthday may not get here. Don't wait on next year. Next year may not come. Now is the time for Christians to rededicate their life to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just give this service over into your hands and into your keeping now. And ask you, Lord, just to touch lives and hearts and make them and mold them into what you'd have them to be. In Christ's name, amen.